Good afternoon. Glad you came back for another lesson. Appreciate you being here. Again, I appreciate the opportunity for being up here. Today's lesson might come off as sounding a little, the heading, things you won't have to do in hell. Now, I want to make myself clear when I say that. This is not me trying to sell you the idea that going to hell is a good thing, okay? But we are going to discuss some things that we will not have to do if that is where we end up. And so when we think about it, we all here, I'm very confident that everyone here knows that hell is real. It is a real place. Scripture tells us, gives us very good descriptions of it. It is a place that I truly believe no one here wants to be. In Revelations chapter 21, there starting in verse 3. Revelations 21 verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This hell described to us is not a good place to be at all. You know, I did a search of the quote, "I'd rather be burning in hell." I've heard people make reference to something along these lines before. And they sell bumper stickers, they sell t-shirts, they sell things that actually have these quotes on them. Now, I can't imagine anyone at all really believing that they would rather be burning in hell than doing anything upon this earth that they were doing at the time that they purchased that item. And even if they thought it was a joke, by putting it on your car, by putting that around your license plate or wearing the t-shirt, what does that tell us about the mindset of that person? If they are advertising that it's funny, that they may be burning in hell someday, that says a lot about our heart. It says a lot about what we, our goals in life or in beyond this life upon this earth. But those are out there, and people are buying them, and people are making money with that kind of thing. And it's disheartening. So this lesson today is for us to think quite the opposite. If we are doing what God commands us here, if we are striving to do his will, and we do it with a loving heart and a willingness, then we're going to stay out of that everlasting torment. We're going to stay away from it. Have we ever thought in our mind or even verbally complained to someone, you know, in the church or out of the church, you know, do I have to do that? Do I have to get up here and preach? Do I have to sing? Do I have to do any of these things? Well, the day is coming that if that's your attitude and that's your attitude, that remains your attitude, the day is coming where You won't have to do any of that if you end up in hell. None of these things are going to be required of you. So when you do a Google search, just put in the words hell and the internet. There's so many things that come up, but they all reference some type of fire. You can see that they'll have people in the pictures that are just in pain and suffering. So my point of that is even the world knows that hell is real. Even they have a good image of what is to come. But how many people choose to ignore the real life situation that when their life here is over, they've made a decision one way or the other? I just hope that their decision isn't the wrong one before it's too late. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not willing that anyone should perish. If we perish in hell, it's because we chose not to do God's will. Not God's fault. Not his fault at all. It's our choice. That's our choice. Hell is a place of torment. Matthew 25:30 tells us. Matthew 25 and verse 30 says, "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is outer darkness. There won't be anybody there for you to love. There won't be anybody there to love you. You will be alone just to hear the complaints and the whines and the wishes that they weren't there. Mark tells us it's a place of unquenchable fire. Unquenchable fire. Mark chapter 9, verses 44 through 48 says, "Where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Now, see how many times the words "the fire is not quenched" comes up there in verse 45 again. "And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched." Have you ever had a fire at your home or try to put a fire out? We see on the news there's probably a wildfire burning now. This isn't normally that fire season, but we see where there's a lot of them. There'll be millions and millions of acres burned up in some of these wildfires, but they eventually get them put out. This fire that burns in hell will never be quenched, ever. It will burn for eternity. Everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There in verses 8 and 9. It says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Everlasting punishment. But keep in mind, this is not God's will. As 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, this is not God's will. If any of these things should come true, this is our own choice. So, some things that we will not have to do in hell. we will not have to attend worship services. How many of you had to make plans to be here today? All of us, right? We had to work out a schedule. Maybe it's second nature. It should be habit that it's automatic there. It's automatically in the schedule. But we had to make an effort to work out a schedule to be here on Sunday to worship. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us not to forsake the assembly. Hebrews chapter 10, starting there in verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. See, we have to have the attitude to be here. We have to want to be here. We have to be willing to sacrifice maybe the big game that's on TV or something else that may come up, going shopping, whatever. We have to be willing to make that effort to be here, put that on the schedule. It took work. It took dedication. You won't have to get up early anymore. You know, we all had to get up. Some of us got up earlier than others, I'm sure, to get prepared for today. Some got up and listened to probably some sermons on the radio. I got up early to go over my own before I came. But you won't have to do that anymore. You won't have to get up early. No getting ready. I know for some of us, We have to have a mirror so we can get everything ready to go. Hair, face, things like that. That takes some time. But there won't be any mirrors in hell. There won't be any reason for them. Won't be any reason to get up. Won't be any reason to go do anything. It's complete darkness. If there were mirrors, we wouldn't be able to see. Darkness, fire, horrible place. How many of us sometimes are tired of a morning and don't want to get up to go to services? I just don't want to get out of bed. I'm too tired. That takes effort. It takes work. It does. It's worth it. It's well worth it. But sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. And there are some that didn't get out of bed this morning to go to services. And you guys are all here. I'm thankful you're here. Even outside of our personal congregation, how many people in the world are still in bed or didn't church never cross their mind this morning? Coming to worship service never crossed their mind. It takes work. No longer having to carry that burden of coming to on Lord's Day. Takes out a whole day. Could get a lot more stuff done at home, right? There won't be a Lord's Day, actually, if you get to hell, because the Lord won't be there. So it won't matter what day it is. He won't be there. First John chapter 5, in verse 3, tells us that God's commandments are not burdensome. The burden of coming on a Lord's Day is not burdensome. First John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Assembling with the saints, and that is not a burden for us. So again, we need to be reassured that this is not what the Lord wants for us to miss services, for us to end up in that eternal hell that is awaiting for those who won't abide by his will. something else. We will not have to worship God. If we end up in hell, there will be no worshiping of God. No more having to come sing. That's an act of worship. I've said this before, I'll admit it, that I don't feel like I sing very well. But that's not an excuse. God wants to hear our song that we make in our heart, our melody in our heart. And anything that comes out of our mouth worshiping God is pleasing to him. So when we make these excuses, when we make reasons for, you know, I'm not very good at it. And I will tell you, I'm not very good at leading songs because I can't read music. But I'm trying. I'm trying. But there will be none of that in hell if that's where we end up. No more wondering whether to use stringed instruments or not. That's always a hot topic amongst denominations that, you know, stringed instruments or music and worship. No more saying the Bible doesn't say we can't, so why can't we? Well, because it tells us to make the melody in our heart. Ephesians 5:19. Sing with grace in your hearts. In Colossians 3:16. But the only sound that's going to be heard is the weeping and gnashing of teeth. All the singing is going to be in heaven. All the singing will be in heaven. Revelation 14:3 tells us that. No more having to pray. No more having to pray to God. You'll want to. You'll want to pray to God. You'll want to pray for him to save you. But it's going to be too late. God will not hear your prayer. It's going to be too late. Your chance is gone. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And Luke 18:1, always pray and not lose heart. But if we're praying to God, then our heart's in the right place. We're on the right track. But in hell, there will be no reason to pray for God, pray to God. There won't be an avenue to do it. When we were younger, and I can admit that I've had this thought, when we were younger, getting ready to eat, having a prayer, thinking, are we done yet? I'm just hungry. And that's the immature side. But we really have to understand what this prayer is. We're talking to God. Long, short, one word, 100 words, we're talking to God. Prayer is essential. Prayer is wonderful. But in hell, there'll be no prayer. No more sermons to sit through. No more long sermons to say, I have to sit through this one again, or will this one be short? I don't have an outline for you to see, so you can't tell when I'm getting close to the end. Okay, but there won't be any of these. 2 Timothy 4, there in verse 2, tells us to be ready in season and out. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 through verse 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We are to preach. We are to teach. If we end up going to hell because of our lack of work here, oh, how we're going to regret not believing those who taught us before. Not opening our minds and our eyes and our ears to the scriptures. We will definitely regret that. Isaiah 30, there in verse 8. Told to write it down. So there in verse 8, reading through verse 11. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note and on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. These people didn't want to hear the truth. They wanted to hear something that tickled their ears. They were believing false teachers. Isaiah was told to write it down. Document it. You know, sometimes there's sermons that are preached that may not apply to us directly. They're touchy topics. Sometimes baptism can be a touchy topic on preaching and the requirement of it. And not within our congregation, but in the world around about us. Morality, the topic of fellowship, the unity of in Christ. And not with air, but just people have different views, have different beliefs. But these sermons all need to be taught. These need to all be preached. The world right now is not a God-fearing place from what we see on the news. And I know that's not the majority, but it is not a God-fearing world. It is all about self-preservation. It's all about, you know, whatever I want to do is okay. Doesn't matter if it's scriptural or not. It's whatever I see is okay is okay. And that's going to lead us in the wrong path. Going to lead us down that wide path. You will not have to love your neighbor in hell. I know that sounds funny or strange to us. But this is something you will not have to do if in hell. You'll be all alone, no family, no friends, no neighbors, no one to talk to, no one to listen to you. Millions upon millions of people will be there, and everyone will be alone. God's not there. He won't be there to comfort you. You know, we're to help those in need. We are prospered upon this earth so we can help those who are less prospered. You know, do unto others as you would have done unto you. Ignore that on earth and we'll be judged in the same. We have so many blessings upon this earth. Talked about a little bit this morning in the sermon. But let's look at the example of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man ended up going to hell and begged for Lazarus to rescue him. And it's not going to happen. Didn't happen. He had all that he ever wanted. The rich man had all he ever wanted and could have helped others. But yet it was all about himself. But on this earth, we have the opportunity to love our neighbor as ourselves, to treat them with respect, to help them when in need. And our neighbor isn't just the people living next door to us. Our neighbor is anyone who is in need. We will definitely wish we had a different attitude when we were on earth if our choices lead us to hell. We will not have to love God in hell. There will be no more commandments to obey. John says, love God and keep his commandments. We won't have to do that in hell. There won't be any responsibility for that. No requirement. No more making sacrifices for God. No more giving up the things that we want to do so we can either attend service or go to a Bible study. No more making those sacrifices. No more Bible studies. You know, Psalms 119, 104 tells us God's way gives us understanding. So by studying the Word, we understand what we should do and how we should live. But that won't be needed. No more walking by faith. It's a place of unbelievers. Those who make it to hell didn't believe, otherwise they wouldn't be there. They would have worked harder. So we will not have to love God in hell. We will never have to stand up for the truth. Now, I preached a sermon a while back that was taking a stand for God. And we discussed this a little bit then. Maybe you have at one time or another faced ridicule or, you know, whatever word you want to use for it, teased, shunned for the sake of the truth, for taking a stand. You won't have to worry about that. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. First Peter 4, there in verse 4, says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So we, as we walk upon this earth, we may appear to be different than everyone else. And that just shows Christ in us. We're taking a stand. If we end up in hell because of our lack of will or willingness to take a stand, we gave in. We became like them, hiding our light under a bushel, didn't share it. Didn't let it light our path. We feared man more than we feared God. Didn't believe that God's punishment would be everlasting. Mark 8:38 tells us. Or we get tired of fighting the good fight. We just give up. Been a long road. We've had many go ahead of us. Many that has actually stood up here and guided us and taught us the way that we should go, that have went before us, that have fought the good fight. We can't give up now. We got to stay strong. Never have to worry about offending friends in hell. Won't have any there. Tired of the confrontational nature of the truth. Won't have to worry about that. Won't have to have those discussions. Won't have to walk on eggshells around those topics. Because it won't be there. These will all go away into everlasting punishment. Those who do not seek the truth. So, when I say we would not have to do any of these in hell, we don't have to do them now. Now, we do have a commandment from God that says that we should do these. And we do them out of fear, out of respect, out of obedience. But nobody is forcing any one of us to be here today. Nobody's coming to our houses, dragging us out of bed, getting us ready, putting us in a car and bringing us here. We make those choices. Nobody makes us do them. We don't have to do any of those things. But I'm glad we did. I'm glad we chose all these things to be here, to do the things that we're supposed to do, to obey the word. God is trying to save us by giving us these things. He's steering us in the right path. He's giving us things to learn from and to study from. He is our pilot. We've heard him said before, I'm not going to hell because I'll change before I die. I've got time, right? I've got plenty of time. Well, that's not true either. because nobody knows when their time is up. And this one I've heard a lot. God is too good to send me to hell. He's a loving God. He wouldn't do that. Well, Matthew 7:23 says differently. Matthew 7:23. It says, and then I will declare to them, talking about those who did not follow him or do his will, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. On the day of judgment, brethren, if we are not found acceptable, we will get a punishment that we will not like. We will not like it. But today, you can escape that punishment. Today, you can choose to obey the gospel. And I say choose because nobody is going to take your hand and bring you up front. It is your choice. God has made us free moral agents that we can decide upon our own what is best. He has told us what's best, but are we willing to accept it? In Revelation chapter 21, let's go back to where I started. Revelation 21, I want to read those verses 4 through 8 one more time, and the lesson is yours. When the choice, when you end up making this choice, what are you going to inherit? What would be your inheritance? 21 verses 4 through 8 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If you overcome today, you inherit all things. But if for whatever reason the world gets the better of you, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brethren, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to live a life that's righteous to God, accept Jesus, be added to thy fold, or stay unbelieving and refuse. And hopefully there's time for you. But if not, all of these things we've talked about will not be a requirement in hell. But it's not going to be a fun place to be. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being attentive. If there's any way that we can help you, whether in primary obedience or if you need prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.